Daniel chapter 12. We'll start again at verse 1 of the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Be looking tonight about turning people to righteousness. That's what missions is about. That's what the ministry is about. That's what our efforts to win souls to Christ is about. And we find that in the book of Daniel. I think it's an amazing thing that Daniel would write verse 3. Because all of his life was spent in pointing people to the Lord God. His whole life was a vessel and a testimony of the God of heaven to different kings and different peoples. And through his ministry and through his testimony and through his witness, the world got to know about the God of the Bible. One man. And if this ever applied to anyone, it would be the writer that was used by the Holy Spirit to pen it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." The Bible says in verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." You think about wisdom, there's a whole lot of different things that you could say about wisdom. We've been going through the book of Proverbs as well and learning what wisdom is. But when he says in verse 3, "And they that be wise," I would say this, the wisest thing that you'll ever do in your life is get born again. I mean, you're a fool if you don't come to Jesus Christ and let him take away your sin. How foolish would that be? How foolish would it be to go to hell? We even said that in missions conference and had some people get saved. I mean, it'd be terrible to go, how foolish it would be to go to hell from a church pew. How foolish would it be to live in America where you're not waiting for a missionary to come to you, but the Bibles that are all the stores and churches are on every corner, and anytime you want to tune in, you can tune in somewhere to some broadcast or some ability to find someone to give you the truth in the Bible. What an awful place it would be to go to hell from is our country that we live in. So the wisest thing we can ever do is come to Jesus. That's just wisdom. I want the Lord God to get more out of my life than just having to throw me into hell, and that was a good reason to come to him, because he deserves my life. What a tragedy. God creates people and then he has to throw them in hell. That's an awful thing. But really, there's a big selfish motive. Not just that Jesus would get glory, but I tell you, just the wisdom of not wanting to perish. The wisdom of wanting to live with God. You've got to be insane not to want to live with God. You've got to be worse than foolish. You've got to be so consumed with your sin you don't see the need of it. The Bible says they that are wise, he says, they're going to shine. All of God's people are going to shine one of these days. We're going to be like the Lord. We'll say more about that in a minute. But what else is wise? Look at Matthew chapter 7. Jesus talked about who the wise man was. When he says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." A bright, clear day. That's the wise man forever and ever. Who is the wise man? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gave the illustration. We've all heard it from a child in verse 24. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." And of course, you know, the foolish man, he hears the sayings, verse 26, but he doesn't listen really. And the Bible says that these people that hear the word of Jesus, and they're like the man that builds his house on a rock. So it is wise to act on the word of Jesus, on the word of God. So a wise man will do what Jesus says. Well, what did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to do a lot of things. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But he also told us that are saved to do something else. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, they that will be wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And Jesus said, the wise man is the one that heareth my words and doeth them. How many of God's people hear the message that Jesus tells us to do, but we don't do them? It's just not enough to know what Jesus says. We're supposed to be doing what Jesus says. The most foolish thing in the world is if you know what Jesus said and you don't do it. That's foolish. Those that are shining as the brightness of the firmament are the wise men that heard the word of Christ and did it. You know, next month we'll try to do more of the word of Christ. Tomorrow we've got a group trying to do the word of Christ. Why do we go to all the world? Why do we go down to Mexico? Do we not have anything to do? I mean, we could stay in Alabama and get the virus. I mean, why would we want to go to Mexico? You were supposed to laugh there, but I don't know why you didn't laugh there. There's less down there than here, but anyway, why do we do that? Jesus said to go to all the nations. He said the gospel must first be published among all nations. He said, be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. That's what he said. If I don't do what he said, then I'm not very wise. They that be wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament. Are you going to shine in glory because you did what the Lord said? You say, how does that equate with, you say, well, I'm saved. Well, you'll shine in a manner of speaking, but you ever read what Paul said over there to the Thessalonians? He said, what is our joy? Our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord? You heard that old song, you know, that said, will there be any stars in my crown? In my crown? Will there be anything to shine for the glory of God because we were wise enough to hear the word of God and to do the word of God? Look at Proverbs chapter 11. I'll show you that wisdom. There is wisdom in winning souls. And if we do not go after souls, and if we do not witness to people, whether it's in our own county, next month, amen, door to door, around the world, we're not very wise. We're selfish, one, but we're not very wise. They that will be wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament. He said in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
They that be wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And he says just the same, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Those glistening, glowing stars up there, that's who those are that are turning people to righteousness and winning souls. I don't know if we're, I don't think I'm very good at winning souls. I'm good at preaching to people. I say that, maybe you don't. I think you think that or you wouldn't be here. I mean, my talent is preaching to people. But winning over people, that's a different story. He says, he that winneth souls. To win over a soul, what does that mean? I know the context in Proverbs is not, you know, New Testament, you know, Paul going door to door and all that stuff. But still, there's a principle there. It's winning over a soul. Winning over their interest. Showing them enough affection to where you can win over their point of view. That you can try to win them over to thinking differently than what they're thinking in their religion or in their sinful life. Winning them over to think, hey, you know, look, your life is a mess. Winning them over to for them to see that. You need Jesus. You know how you have to win people over today so Now, some people, they know they need help. That was a blessing. Miss Tammy said, I knew I was looking for something. I needed help. But you know what? You have to win some over. You have to win some people over for them to know they even need any help. He that winneth souls. Are we good at our argument? You know, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be making people thirsty. Thirsty for the Lord. Thirsty for the gospel. Thirsty for what we have. Win them over. Hey, man, your life stinks. Come over here. You know, your God is awful. Come over here. There's a real God over here. That religion that's all dry and dead and fake and never did anything, you come over here and drink of some good water of life freely and find this everlasting satisfaction that's down in my soul. Come here. But sometimes we're not very good commercials, are we, of winning over the soul. It's, you need to be saved here, you're going to go to hell. That's, you know, I got put out a long time ago. These people, they're just straight as a gun barrel, but they can't win over an ant because of their attitude. It's like when they get up and preach. I believe preaching on the street. Jesus was a street preacher. I'm a street preacher. Well, I didn't get much amens there, but that's what I do. I'm not a professional. I don't just do it in here. I don't want to be a hypocrite. But a lot of those people get on the street, you know, and it's like they don't even want anybody to go to heaven. They want them all to go to hell. No, we're trying to win over people. Here Paul is standing before Agrippa, and when he gets through with Agrippa says, almost. You know what Paul is doing? He's trying to win him over. Sometimes maybe we need to win them over by bringing them to our house. You know what we're doing at our event next week? At the meeting, at the end of the meeting, and this is what I talked to Brother Johnson, Brother Meyer. At the end of the meeting, all those people that come, when they go home, they'll give them a tamale and a drink. You say, why you do that? Just try to win them over. You say, no, we preach to them first. We're not handing out food. We preach to them. But as they go out, hey, we love you. Here's a little snack, just a tamale, just something to drink. Just showing them interest. Trying to win them over. We're not, having been a missionary for 10 years, they were over there, they would say that Baptist, over in Romania, they said Baptists would take children and lock them up into rooms and do terrible things to them. That's what they said, to try to scare all of the population from listening to anybody that was a Baptist. We're all cult members, you know. If you're not Orthodox, you're a cult member. And then they actually find out that we don't have horns and we're nice and we love. Amen. Amen. Are you wise enough to win a soul? I'll confess it. I don't think we're all that interested in souls. I just don't think we are. And the Bible says that they that will be wise, and he that winneth souls is wise, will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn a many to righteousness as the stars forever. Are we going to have a, you know what's wise? It's wise to live for Jesus instead of yourself. It's wise to put Christ first in your life and put you on the backside of it. It's wise. Are you a wise man? A wise man invests in eternity, in eternal things, not in temporal things. Wisdom says it's better to try to win a soul than to fight them. Wouldn't it have been better if we could have won the Muslim world instead of having to fight the Muslim world? We could have won them with the gospel if we could have taken them the truth. Wouldn't it have been better when the Iron Curtain come down if we'd have just ran in there and started leading those people to Jesus Christ instead of it being still like a Cold War? Wisdom says, why don't you win a soul? Wisdom says, why don't you get a burden for other people? Why don't you do what God said and build your house on a rock and go out there and take His gospel to the world and invest your life in eternity? He says, they that will be wise, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Now, I thought, and then he says, look at verse 3 again, and they that turn many to righteousness. Now, you say, preacher, I want to win a soul. And what does that mean? Does that just mean I get them to pray a prayer? No. I got saved when I prayed a prayer, okay? I got saved when I prayed a prayer. But it wasn't a prayer somebody else wanted me to pray. It was a prayer I wanted to pray. You understand? It was a prayer that came from my heart and my mouth. And you know, if we're not careful, we can get into the, you know, the Catholics have written out prayers. They say rosary and they do all. The Bible says, they that turn, you see that word? That turn many to what? Righteousness. So if I'm going to win a soul, if I'm going to be wise, if I'm going to be so, I'm trying to turn somebody, because the whole world is headed in the wrong direction. The whole world is headed to hell without Jesus Christ. The whole world is on the broad road, and somehow they need to be turned from that road to another path and another way. And we're going to have to help them with that turn. But you know, I think today it's almost like you have two extremes. You have somebody, people on one side that say you have to reform your life to be saved, and you have to start doing all these good things, and it's sort of a reformation thing, and make Him Lord of your life and get your life all in order, and then you're saved. Well, that's not true. Salvation is simple. It's by grace through faith. It's easy. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of lifestyle. It's a matter of the heart. It's on the inside, right? But we have the other ditch that says, while you're going on this broad road to hell, just repeat a few words and you'll be all right. And God's saying, no, no, you need to turn people. They've got to turn around. They've got to be willing to see that they're on the wrong road, headed the wrong way. Now look, you know what I know about sinners? Sinners aren't interested in righteousness. Would you look at your Bible again? It says that they that turn many to what? To righteousness. We're trying to turn them to righteousness. A lot of people, when they win a soul, they're not talking about righteousness. What's the opposite of righteousness? It's sinfulness. It's iniquity. You know, nobody ever got on the right road, and nobody ever went the Jesus way, and nobody ever got born again until they saw their unrighteousness and saw God's righteousness. We have to let people know that we're trying to win. You are not righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. That's why in the gospel we start with sin. Look, guys, look. If that child, and we deal with children all the time here, and parents, and I've talked to some of our parents, they said, man, you know, I've got this child, and they're wanting to get saved already. How do I do? Well, the first thing I do is got to deal with them about sin. Because if they don't see that they're a sinner, then how are they going to turn to righteousness when they don't even know the difference between sin and righteousness? What does it mean to turn somebody to righteousness? Getting saved is turning someone to righteousness. You say, does that mean a lifestyle? No, listen, the Bible says that Jesus is righteous. He's the righteous one. Now look, if I'm a sinner and I'm not saved and I'm on this broad road of sin going to hell, and I'm a sinner and there's nothing righteous about me, and all my righteousnesses are filthy rags, I'm totally unrighteous, don't care a thing about God, don't care a thing about righteousness, I'm enveloped in my sin and I'm going this way, before I can get saved, I've got to see that Jesus is different than me. He's holy, He's righteous. God does not let unrighteous people into heaven. God does not let unrighteous people into heaven. Right. Well, how can that unrighteous person get to heaven then? They've got to be turned to righteousness. They're righteous? No. Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. He's our righteousness. But see, I've got to want that. You understand? If I just want my sin, I'm not turning to Christ for salvation. He's righteous. You understand? I've got to want righteousness to be saved. Jesus is the righteous. He's not a sinner. He's not like me. I've got to want Him instead of my sin. Do you know what our job is? Hey, Jesus got a whole lot better than what you are. You want that sin or do you want this righteousness? It's not telling people to reform their life or live in a righteous way. Jesus is righteous. Remember Romans chapter 4? Romans chapter 4 talks about God counting our faith as righteousness. But see, do sinners want that? They've got to be shown what their sin is doing to them and the guilt of their sin, and they've got to want something different than their sin. The whole reason we get saved is because we want out of our sin. And I'm telling you, I think sometimes we don't do a very good job of showing people, there's your sin and there's righteousness. Do you want it by faith? The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. You say, well, you get righteous by faith, that's easy. No, no. Some people don't want righteousness. They don't want Jesus. They don't want the imputed free gift of righteousness. They want the sin. And I'm telling you, our job is to turn them to righteousness. You need Jesus. You need the righteousness that He can give you. You need Him to come in and change you from the inside out. And I'm telling you, a lot of sinners are not interested in that. He says, those that turn many to righteousness. We have such an unrighteous world. You see that word turn? Turn many. Look at Acts chapter 9. Who have you turned? It's a good word, isn't it? Boy, we got a world that needs to be turned around, man. And I'm telling you, modern day liberal Christianity is just, you know, give them a little sack lunch Jesus to go on down the same road. That's not turning people to righteousness. They've got to want something else beside their sin. It's like, you know, Hindus. Listen. Hindus, if you went to India today and did the modern day, as some churches do, lead people to Christ, you'd win a million of them. But they wouldn't be any more saved than the pew. You know why? They have a million gods. And they'll just put the Jesus statue on the same road that they're headed right now. You understand? They have to see that they're not righteous. Jesus is, and the only way they can be saved is to get that free gift of righteousness. They got to turn. They've got to turn around. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, watch these testimonies of these missionary journeys. You know what, we're going down there, we're going down to Guadalajara. We want to turn some people around. They're headed to hell. They're headed to the lake of fire. If they don't turn around, they're going to bust hell wide open. Just like some of your neighbors. He said in Acts chapter 9, watch this, Acts chapter 9, verse 34, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately, watch this, and all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him, and what does that say? Turned to what? They all turned to the Lord, a whole city. They said, you know, we're headed the wrong way. We need the Lord. They turned to the Lord. Look at Acts 11. It's all through here. It's all through the Bible. Acts chapter 11, the Bible says verse 21. Oh, look at verse 20. It's a great verse. Acts 11:20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and what, church? Turned unto the Lord. They said, I got to go His way. Chapter 14, I need somebody I don't have. I need someone I don't have. I'm not righteous, but He's righteous. I need Him. Acts chapter 14, the Bible says in verse number 15, Paul and Barnabas running out in this crowd preaching Acts 14:15, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. You need to turn from your idol worship. You need to turn from your religion. You need to turn from who you are and turn to the one that can save you. If you keep heading that same direction, there's no hope for you, he's saying. In chapter 26, Acts 26. Are we turning people to righteousness with our soul winning? Acts chapter 26, the Bible says in verse 18. The Apostle Paul says to open their eyes. And to what's that word? Turn them from darkness to light. You see that? Now let me ask you a question. If somebody likes the darkness and somebody wants to stay in the darkness, it doesn't matter what you get them to do or say. Are you listening to me? If somebody likes the darkness and wants to stay in the darkness, if they don't want their sin gone and washed with the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter what you get them to do or say. They've got to want to come to the light. Jesus said people don't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. I'm glad for the day I saw I was in darkness and I turned around. I said, I want to go His way. I want to go the light. To turn them from darkness to light. Watch it. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It is faith in Christ that sanctifies us, takes our sin away. But the Bible said there had to be a turning for that to happen. The turn comes within the heart of man saying, I'm sick of this sin. I'm not trying to add Jesus to my sin. I want Him to take it away. Verse 20, Acts 26:20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea. And then to the Gentiles that they should, what does that say, church? Repent and what? Turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Are we in the Bible? This is the apostolic commission of the gospel throughout the Gentile world. You say, well, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Absolutely. But why would I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if I want to keep and hold on to my sin and I don't care about my sin, you see? He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, they turn to God from idols. It's when you turn, you always turn from something to something. When I believe on Christ, I'm turning to God. My repentance is turning from my idols. You know people can't be saved unless they repent. People are bothering me on two sides of the theological spectrum. I've got the hyper-dispensationalist people. Some have been my friends for years that try to chop up the Bible. And so they say, oh, you shouldn't use the word repent anymore. And then you've got the hyper-fundamentalist people that say, oh, you shouldn't use the word repent anymore. The Apostle Paul preached to the Gentiles to turn from their idols and repent and believe on Christ. It's not two different things. It's the same coin. It's turning to Jesus. And when I turn to Jesus, I'm not trusting in me anymore. You know what one of the big repentance is? One of the big things of repentance is turning from you. You quit trusting you. I repent of trusting you. We go down there to Catholic Church. For them to be saved, you know what they've got to do? They got to repent. You know what that means for most of them? They've got to quit trusting the Pope and their priest. They got to quit trusting and taking that mass. They've got to turn from their faith in religion to faith in Jesus. They don't just add a little bit to what they're doing. They've got to say, hey, this work salvation, that's the wrong way. I got to turn to Jesus. Paul said, repent. Jesus said in Luke 13, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Acts, you're in Acts, Acts 17. Now look, I think some people have gotten confused because some people have used the word repentance wrong. When we say repent, we're not saying that people have to get their life all straightened up. That's not what repentance is. The Bible says God repented, but he didn't get anything straightened up in his life. What did he do when he repented? He changed his mind about some things. Right? There was a change on the inside of God's heart. He said to the Ninevites, I'm going to kill every one of you. And then he repented of it and he says, okay, I won't do it. You know what it means for a man to repent? He changes his mind about himself. He changes his mind about what he's trusting in for his salvation. He changes his mind about the fact he thinks he's a good person. You know, people that think they're good people will never go to heaven and never get born again and never get saved, no matter what you get them to do or say, until they realize they're a sinner and they repent unless they change their mind about themselves. And the average person won't get saved because they'll never change their mind about themselves. They don't think they're guilty before God. Well, their repentance is their repenting of who they are. He said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. We're way on into the gospel at this point. Churches being established and started. Acts 17, 30. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Look at your Bible. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said in Luke 24:47, and remission of sins and repentance should be preached among all nations. Jesus said that. What has changed? Where have we gone to? He said repentance toward God in Acts chapter 20. I believe salvation is so simple, amen. If you acknowledge you're a sinner and you want God to take that away and you change your mind about all these other things you're trusting in and you call out in a simple prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe he'll save you in a second. Amen. But bless your heart, if there's not a turning to the righteous one from your heart and you change your mind about holding on to your sin, people walking down the aisle and popping their gum, no more concerned about their sin than they are whatever the preacher said. And you know, the hard thing is getting the people to make that turn. And that's why the Bible says you'll shine as the bright, you'll be like stars if you can just get people to turn to righteousness. He said in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said, the one that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We believe that with all our hearts. But he also said, Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not two separate things. It's one thing. It's one thing. The Bible said in Hebrews 6:1, the foundation of repentance toward God, repentance and faith. Repentance and faith is the very foundation. What did God say in 2 Peter 3:9? He said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should what? Perish. But that all should come to. I'm telling you, until this world changes their mind about their sin, they'll never want to be saved. They just won't be interested. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. He said we're trying to get people to turn. Jesus preached repentance to get people to turn to him. John the Baptist preached repentance to get people to turn to God. Peter and Paul preached in repentance to get them to turn to God because there was no hope where they were. The great awakening that occurred and all the great revivals were all preachers that were preaching on sin and telling people, hey, you need to turn to God Spurgeon preached for men to turn to God. There was in the Great Awakening, there was an overwhelming consciousness of sin as Jonathan Edwards preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and they saw themselves as such sinners, and they said, oh, I need God. I need to turn from who I am and turn to God. Finney preached that, and Moody preached that, and Sunday preached that. Bob Jones Sr. and Sam Jones preached that, and J. Frank Norris and Lester Roloff and every move of God and Harold Sightler and John R. Rice all preached the same thing. I'm trying to say, let's not water things down. Let's show men their sin and say, turn to God. He's got something else for you besides this life of sin. No wonder God says, if you can turn many to righteousness, you'll be like the stars. You'll be like the stars. I don't have all the great soul-winning stories that some have. I'm not the greatest turner to righteousness. But I've seen people turn to righteousness by me opening a Bible on their doorstep of apartment complexes. I can take you right down Decatur, right across Sandlin Road to an apartment complex over there, a low-income apartment complex where I took a Bible, and I saw some people weep their way to God right there on their apartment complex. And they saw themselves. You know what the Bible says? Listen. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That Bible says that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You know what it tells us? You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You need to get off your road and get on God's road. I've been under trees in Romania and watched people turn from their sin and call out to Jesus Christ. I remember being in one poor guy's home. He was about 25 years of age, been involved in every sin known to man. We witnessed that guy. I said, hey, you want to get saved? He said, I want to get saved. Show him through the Bible. I said, well, get down there and pray. He said, what do I pray? I said, pray whatever you want to pray. Pray what you want. If people can't verbalize to God what they want, how do you even know they want to be saved?
Right.
I said, "What? Pray whatever you want." That 25-year-old man started praying. He was a gypsy. Lord, what praying? I got nervous. He was naming things I never heard of. He was saying to God, oh, I'm so filthy sinner. He started telling God what he'd been doing. He started screaming. I'm talking about screaming. Screaming bloody murder to God. Oh, God, I'm guilty. Oh, God, I'm wicked. Oh, God, I'm going to hell. And then he started crying. Oh, Lord, would you save me? Jesus, would you wash me? And I tell you what, it just got good. You could hear him two blocks away. What was happening to that boy's heart? He was turning.
Amen.
He was turning to the righteous one. I've been in the bedrooms of my kids and watched them turn to righteousness. There have been some of you. I watched you turn to righteous right in there on that couch. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege to try to meet sinners where they are going the wrong way and say, why don't you turn around? There's a God that loves you. There's a Savior that died for you. Instead of embracing the bosom of the devil and the bosom of your sin and the bosom of your own destruction and condemnation, why don't you turn around and come a different way and let Jesus save you and cleanse you and make you whole? I've seen them get saved at the altar. I've seen them come to church after hours and trust Christ. I'll never forget being in a Russian tank factory in Tbilisi, Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, preaching the gospel. Those people didn't have a Bible in the 90s. Curtain hadn't been down long. I watched hundreds of people walk the aisle, said they won't get saved. I had two translators. I said, go back to your seat. How's that?
You got 200 and some people want to get saved, and the preacher tells them to go back to their seat. You know why? I was just so worried that they weren't listening and they didn't understand what I was saying. It's not the American handing out money. So they went back to their seat. I preached another hour, and I said, now if you were really serious, you come down here and
here they come. And then I was young, man. I had red hair and everything. And I still didn't believe it. I said, Lord God, I've never seen 250 people come front and say they won't get saved. I never seen that in my life. I thought I was Billy Graham or something. I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't even stage people to walk the aisle. You get that later. They're all standing. And so, being young and so zealous in the Lord, I tried to make it a little harder. I know it was dumb, but I did. I said, well, if you really, really mean business, get on your knees. Man, here's an 80-year-old woman, and she's getting down on her knees. God smote my heart, and he said, you know, you better let these people pray and get saved. And that's what they did.
Amen.
Now, I'm not God. I can't see their hearts. But there's a whole bunch of them praying. And a bunch of them were crying. Now, that don't mean you get saved. I mean, people cry for a lot of weird reasons, right? But it was a blessing to my heart. Here's this 80-year-old woman now. She just, look, those people, listen, guys, we take it so for granted. There are people around this world that have never, ever heard one clear presentation of the gospel. They have no idea. It's almost like it's too good to be true. Turning to righteousness. And God says, if we'll be engaged in that business, look at the verse. He said in Daniel chapter 12, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. As the stars. I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, maybe that's just a nice little idiom God's putting in the Bible to show you how glorious it is to turn people to Jesus. And yet in chapter 8, you know, he talks about stars in Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. You know who the stars are in Daniel 8, 10? They're angels. Read over there in Revelation chapter 12 where the devil drew a third part of the stars and he talked about the devil and his angels' fault. You say, we can be like angels? You know what? When people really saw an angel in their glory, it scared them to death. They fell on their face. For the glory of the angel, the brightness of... Now, angels can transform themselves. They can look like strangers and you don't even know who they are. But if an angel appeared to you in his glory, he'd blind you. Because he's glorious. God makes him glow. Amen. God makes the angel shine. Now, you remember when Jesus went up to that mountain to pray? In Matthew chapter 17, the Bible said he prayed, and while he was praying, that he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became white and glistering, and the Bible says his countenance shone like the sun. He began to shine. You know what the Bible tells us? When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as it. And he'll fashion our bodies like unto his glorious body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about every star differs from another star in glory. The stars are glorious. Some of them shine brighter than others. You do know what one of the stars are, don't you? He says there in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, until the day star arise and shine in your heart. You know what? Y'all do know the sun is a star. But it has a lot more brightness than just any old star. You know what this verse I believe is saying? The more people will turn to the righteous God and have that wise life of doing what God said, going after those souls, the more we do that, the brighter and brighter our lives will shine. We'll be like the stars in eternity forever and ever. Wonder how much you'll glow in heaven. Wonder how much I'll shine. Look at your verse again. I'm not making this up. He said in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, "And they that be wise shall" what? "Shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Jesus is the bright and morning star. Will there be any stars in my crown? Have I lived my life in such a way that I've been trying to turn many to the Lord? Or will I be that like that bulb at my house that's just always a little dull? It's still on. It's still shining, but it bugs me to death because it just didn't know how to get bright. If you're saved by the grace of God, all of us will be up there. We'll be like Jesus. But I'm telling you, I believe what the Bible says. We turn many to righteousness. We'll be like the stars. And the brightness and the shining that our life to bring that glory to God, just like those angels do, is determined on how much I will invest my life and try and tell those sinners, hey, you need to turn. You need to turn to God.